The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Tonight for Vespers, we will be using the red hymnal, so you'll need one of those. If you didn't pick one up, they're located in both corners here in the exits. And then I thought tonight we would acknowledge the sound technicians who do all the sound work for Vespers every night. So to Lena and David, to our volunteers, can we just give it a round of applause? And I invite you now to take a moment of silence to prepare your hearts for worship this evening.
Let us pray. God of the mountains and the valley, oceans and rivers, cities and suburbs, we open our heart to you. Hear our prayers and hymns of praise. Fill us with hope. Gently heal our brokenness. Touch our hearts with your love. Open our hearts to your presence and help us love you every day of our lives. Amen. The next song will be Balm and Gilead in your red hymnals, number 614. Please stand.
Myself. For those of you who don't know who I am already, I'm the Bonhoeffer person. My name is Lori Jungle. I am here on teaching staff for the week and am teaching some sessions on Bonhoeffer. I'm from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I teach in the religion department at Augustana College in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I have to say, I was just thinking before I came to worship that Holden Village is an amazing place, because I don't think there's any other place where I could teach and preach in shorts and an awesome Holden Village tee. It's wonderful to be here. It's my fourth time at Holden, and I am loving it yet once again. The reading today comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. Yes, that text again. However, I'll be starting from where the preacher last night left off. Then the angel led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw on the bank of the river a great many trees, on the one side and on the other. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah. And when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish once these waters reach there. It will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes. People will stand fishing beside the sea, from the En Gedi to the En Gleim, the Dead Sea. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of a great many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and its marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. On the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. But they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." The word and wisdom of God. Everything will live where the river goes. That's how the NRSV translates the theme verse that the Holden community has chosen for this summer. You can see it printed on the back wall there. Where the river flows, life abounds. Everything will live where the river flows. Everything will live where the river goes. Everything. This verse was actually a great comfort for me earlier this summer when I had to put down my 19-year-old blind and lame cat. Those of you with pets know what I'm talking about here. That's hard. It's very difficult to say goodbye to one of your pets. But according to this verse, everything will live where the river goes. Even cats. Maybe even my cat. Everything. Everything. Everything? Earlier in the same verse, the text mentions things that swarm. Every living creature that swarms will live. Now, I don't know about you, but the word swarm does not bring a warm, fuzzy feeling to my heart. Swarms mean bees. Lots of bees with their little stingers all buzzing around my head. Swarms mean mosquitoes. Those whiny little monsters that love to suck our blood and carry nasty diseases. Swarms mean Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. Or other horror movie scenarios that usually don't bode well for people just trying to take a hike on a Sunday afternoon. Swarms of anything usually send shivers up my back and goosebumps down my arms. Swarms. In the Bible, swarms are often used by God as punishment. The best examples are the plagues in the story of Exodus. Swarms of frogs and gnats and flies that bring anthrax to the cattle and boils to the skin. Swarms of locusts that chomp away at everything in their midst. In Leviticus, swarming things are declared unclean and are to be avoided at all costs. Swarms in the Bible seem to represent life run amok, life on overload, life so teeming with life that it means death to anyone that gets into the swarm's path. Kind of reminds me of a fantasy series called The Second Chronicles of Thomas Covenant, a book series written by Stephen Donaldson. The land that is the setting for this series is a wounded place where life has run amok, where when the sun shines, it shines so hot it just burns everything, where when it rains so much everything is flooded, where when plants and animals grow, they grow so fast that a desert can become a swamp or a jungle in just a few minutes. Swarms of uncontrolled, unmanaged, chaotic life. We humans, we like our lives ordered and managed and controlled. But swarms, they're anything but controlled. And for those caught in their midst, these swarms don't become about life at all. They become about death. So why would anyone want to live next to this river that Ezekiel is talking about, this river that is swarming with life? How could life by this river be good news? But what if these swarms are not about death at all? What if these swarms are rather about God's way of bringing life out of death? On a closer read of the Exodus plagues, for example, we see that the swarms don't merely bring death, but are the means by which life is brought out of death for the Israelites who are trapped in slavery. We also see swarms of life come out of death in the Genesis creation narrative. Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, God proclaims. Out of dead water comes life. New life, rich life, the life that becomes the basis for all life on the planet. Clearly, the imagery from Ezekiel's text today harkens back to that creation of the universe narrative. In Ezekiel's angelic vision, the river that he sees flowing from the temple is living water, water that will bring life to dead water. Water like the Dead Sea, which was a powerful symbol of death for ancient Israel. I don't know if you've ever been to the Dead Sea in southern Israel, but if you have, you know what I'm talking about. It truly is dead. So salty that almost nothing can live in it. Nothing swarms, nothing lives. It is indeed a dry and barren land without tree, bug, or swarm in sight. Nothing but death. But out of this death, Ezekiel proclaims, comes life. The living river from the living temple runs through the Dead Sea and heals it, bringing forth swarms of life. Salt water becomes fresh, desert becomes swamp, death becomes life. Trees full of fruit line the water. Swarms of living creatures abound. People stand by the living water fishing for an infinite variety of fish. Everything will live after this river runs through it. Everything. For ancient Israel, the temple mentioned in this text obviously implies the temple in Jerusalem, the place believed to be the earthly dwelling place of God. For Christians, however, the dwelling place of God becomes not a building, but a living person. Jesus Christ, God incarnate. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus announces in the Gospel of John. Now, usually Christians tend to focus on the first two, the way and the truth. And all too often, we like to declare to others that we know what the way is and what the truth is, and that they, of course, don't. What Christians too easily forget sometimes is that Jesus is the life. And in Jesus, life is the way. And life is the truth. If whatever way or truth we're touting doesn't bring life, then it's not Jesus' way or truth. Because Jesus is life. Jesus, for Christians, is the living water, the water that brings swarms out of life, swarms of life out of the barrenness of death, the word that brings everything out of nothing. Everything will live where this living water goes. Everything. That is the promise of Ezekiel, and that's the promise given to you in Jesus Christ. So how is God going to make this all happen? How is God going to make it possible for everything, everything, for swarms of bees and mosquitoes and locusts, for swarms of fish and birds, for swarms of cats and dogs, for swarms of plants and humans, all these swarms to live in harmony with each other without all this swarming running amok? Well, I have absolutely no idea. Anything I'd say would be mere speculation on a promise that is perhaps not feasible in this particular circle of life. But instead of saying anything that would be merely speculative, I will call us to life. Call us to live in the promise of life that comes out of death. Promise that is shared with us both by Ezekiel and by Jesus. Everything will live where this river goes. So, let it swarm, let it swarm, let it swarm. But don't forget your bug net. At least for now. Amen. Let us stand, because we're going to need to stand for this, and join in singing our next hymn, which is hymn number 459. 459.
Oh, see that band all dressed in red. it's the Holy Ghost coming down on you and me.
God, saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In this moment, draw us to yourself, Lord, and make us aware, not so much of what we have been given, as of all that we have received, and so have yet to share. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send us forth, O God, in power and gladness, and with great courage, to live out in this world what we pray and what we profess. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
That in our sharing, may we do justice, make peace, grow in love, enjoy ourselves, other people, and your world now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
To you, loving God, we commend all our prayers, trusting in your abounding grace. Through Jesus Christ, amen.
Go in peace with good courage to serve the living God.
Thanks be to God.